With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I'm John Batchford, continuing my conversation with the author Josh Rogan of the Washington Post. His new book, Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. This is a careful explication of the evolving Trump administration policy towards China. It is also an examination of China's understanding or lack of how the U.S. works over the course of our 2.5 centuries. We're a very young nation compared to the Middle Kingdom. Very, very young. The Chinese begin the Trump administration by naming the thing itself. Our territorial integrity, our sovereignty must not be questioned. And of course, that's what the Trump people did for 4 years, and the U.S. will continue. However, we go to Mar-a-Lago, a wonderful scene that will someday be in an opera. Donald Trump is serving his chocolate cake to Xi Jinping in a celebratory mood, and he delivers the message that he's just ordered cruise missiles fired on Syria. At least that's the legend. I'll go with it, because the question here is, what are the forces within the Trump administration that early date that are pulling and pushing the development of the China policy? We need personalities here. Now, Josh, you made clear that it's not clear that everybody's in one camp or another. They move back and forth. But I'm going to seize on Plan A. That's Gary Cohn, Steve Mnuchin, and the Wall Street Gang. What do they tell the president at that time, early on in 2017?
Right. Well, you have to remember that Donald Trump campaigned on a message of economic nationalism, promising to get our jobs back from China and to stop the Chinese government from screwing over the United States economy. And he used some very heated rhetoric. But when he became president, the policy was actually handed over to the Wall Street guys, Gary Cohn, Steve Mnuchin, and to an extent, Wilbur Ross. Now, they wanted a totally different policy. They wanted to make a trade deal, and they wanted to make it quick. And what better way to do that than to invite Xi Jinping to Mar-a-Lago and get everybody around the table, eat some chocolate cake, and work it out. So that was who was in control of the policy at Mar-a-Lago. Now, you had these other people from the campaign, like Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller and Peter Navarro, and to an extent, Matt Pottinger, who were very wary of all of these deals, and they didn't want to get roped back into these comprehensive economic dialogues that the Chinese government loves, because it allows you to just talk and talk about the problem without solving it for years and years. But they didn't have the ball. They didn't have the president's blessing or his attention at that point. So they decided to sit back and let the Wall Street guys try to do this. And they figured that the Chinese government would just screw around with them and would never really give them a good deal that they could bring to the president. And that's, of course, what happened. And Mar-a-Lago is the scene where all of this begins, where Gary Cohn makes a presentation at the end to a room full of Trump administration officials in the garden room in the back of the club. And he says to them, listen, we're going to enter into these strategic and economic dialogues, comprehensive this and that, and we're going to have 100 days of negotiations, and it's going to be wonderful. And then Trump calls Navarro from the back of the room, and you have to remember, Navarro was excluded from all of these negotiations quite intentionally by Mnuchin and Cohn. And Navarro says, what are we, crazy? What are we, stupid? We're going to do the same thing that everyone else did and put a different name on it and expect it to be changed. He's like, and of course Trump looks at that and he says, aha, maybe Navarro's got something right here. So what that was the beginning of Trump's policy to essentially let the Wall Street guys try to make a quick deal with China, but have a backup plan. And that backup plan was what Pottinger and Navarro and Bannon were pushing, which was the trade war, which eventually became the tech war. And that's exactly how it played out. Mnuchin and Ross tried their best to get the Chinese to agree to a quick deal. The Chinese government never gave them anything good. They failed, and then Trump turned to the hardliners, and the trade war began.
The personalities here, again, if this is an opera, we introduce them one at a time with significant hairstyles. Matt Pottinger is the Deputy National Security Advisor. Peter Navarro has a rolling title that has to do with trade. Steve Mnuchin is the Secretary of the Treasury. Gary Cohn is the head of the National Economics Council at the time. There's another player to enter in here because, as Josh says, these lines of contention did not develop logically or neatly. That would be Christopher Wray, the new director of the FBI, who warns that this is a whole-of-society threat. That was very early, Josh, that the FBI had picked up that there was a common purpose to these random, apparently random, espionage or surveillance, misleading statements by Chinese nationals or people who were living, traveling in this country about China and intellectual property and other purloining pursuits. So everybody had different evidence of what was going on. Let's focus on what you said. And Peter Navarro, by the way, was prominent in the Trump campaign. Donald Trump picked him out early on because of a movie he did, a film he did called Death by China. That's Peter Navarro. Right. Death by China. That's why Trump picked him to be his trade representative about China. That's his job. Now, developing here is this China policy, and it's the evolving nature of it is led by Matt Pottinger and an Australian named John Garneau. What do we need to know about him? That was new to me.
Right. So as you described, there weren't just two camps. There were several teams, and the teams changed over time because there was so much turnover. And in a way, the campaign folks and some of the real super hawks, the people who really wanted to bring down the CCP, like Bannon and Navarro, they had an alliance with hardliners. That's national security types like Matt Pottinger and, to an extent, Christopher Wray, who don't want to blow up the relationship, but they do want to have a tougher policy to confront the Chinese government's bad actions. And so they work together at some points in the story, especially against the Wall Street clique and Steve Mnuchin and Gary Cohn and later Larry Kudlow, right, who they saw as promoting pro-Beijing interests in the interests of integration, which is not what they were trying to do. Now, that all that means is that while the trade people were operating on a certain political level, in between the news, underneath the system, two levels down, there were a lot of other interesting things going on, and they were connected at times to the top-level politics in unpredictable and fascinating ways, and that's what the book tries to do. It tries to link what was going on inside of our government to what we saw on our TV screens, and those two things were not linked in the way that you would think. And when it came to trade, it was very interesting because what Pottinger did was he brought in the top Australian experts on Chinese influence operations, including a former journalist named John Garneau. And what they did was they traced the history of Chinese influence operations inside of all parts of Australian society, and that means academia and Wall Street and money into their politics and their research institutions and you name it. And then they applied what they had been learned in over 10 years of research in Australia to the American system and tried to have a better understanding of where the Chinese Communist Party was using its influence operations to interfere in our society. And that was proven to be very useful for people like Christopher Wray, who were trying to take the resources of the federal government and point them more towards the China challenge and away from some of the other things that they had been working on. Now, was Trump aware of all of this? Not really. You know, he was focused more on the trade stuff and, you know, are we going to have soybean, you know, sales and what, you know, are they going to sell beef to China? And those are not, I'm not saying those are not important things, but, you know, that's what the majority of the media was pointed at. But really, the real changes that were going on in 2018 were beneath the surface and they were quite intentional, but they would only really be seen much later on in the story.
The book is Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. The author is Josh Rogan of The Washington Post. 2017 ends with Donald Trump traveling to Asia and in looking for deals with China. One deal, of course, would be to involve a shipment of fossil fuels, West Virginia fracking. However, 2018 is going to turn the story in a completely surprising direction. When we come back, the Bingo Club. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.